Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 110, stanzas 1 and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. And what follows in 1 and 3 of Psalter 110.
Congregation, we wish to read from the second book of Moses, the book of Exodus, and thereof from chapter 12. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus 12, the first 36 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of the fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought you your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened, In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called out for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Thus far. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism, as it can be found in page 126 of your Psalter book. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we, sometimes through weakness, fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are, without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving an unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, the one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Brum? Father and Mother Van Hagenbos. Father and Mother Den Hollander. Dear parents, we can read and have heard in these moments that the children of Israel, they were to place a token given by the Lord upon their houses. What is a token? A token is a sign. It is a symbol. It is, as it were, a banner under which a person is living or traveling or going forward. It is a token, a sign, which distinguishes that people who are under that banner from those who are not under that banner. That token in the land of Israel that had a very special significance. It was for the education of that people because it showed why that people were separated. It was blood. The people, they were separated from the Egyptians by blood. That is the blood of the Lamb. Your child that will also receive a token. It is a token that distinguishes our children from the children of this world who are not baptized. And there is much significance in the token itself for our instruction, because it is a token, a sign of blood. And it is blood, therefore, which is distinguishing our children from the children of the world. It is the blood of Jesus Christ which distinguishes between people in this world. That is, in the church, that is, between the people of the church, the visible church, and those who are not in the church, when we think about baptism, that is, in their baptism. And it is also invisibly between the elect and the reprobate, that is, in the baptism of the heart. Really, when we think about all mankind, There is no distinction between good and bad men. Because the psalmist, he says, there is none that doeth good. So the distinction between good and bad men in this world is only a relative distinction. What is the distinction between a man and a man in this world? That is, the one is forgiven and the other is not. And therefore, that blood of Jesus Christ, that is a very fitting sign, a very fitting symbol to distinguish between men in this world. Parents, when our children are baptized, that is of very, very great significance. Because there is no child, there is no man in this world that receives greater privileges in this whole world than can be found in their baptism. When they receive an opportunity that is for eternal life. And on the other hand, there is no child, no person in this whole world that has such a great responsibility and such a great liability even to lay on the bottom of hell. Because the Lord says in His Word of the visible church, His own church in a visible way, when they departed from Him, He says, a fire is kindled in my anger against that people. And He says, it shall burn to the bottom of hell. Thus, what an opportunity and what a responsibility there is in the baptism of our children. A token of blood. Teach your children the need for that blood. And teach your children the provision of that blood. And may the Lord give His blessing. So be it. While the children are being brought in, let us sing from Psalter 432, the third stanza. And after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing 425, stanza 5. So 432, stanza 3, for God's royal might serves His truth and right. Justice He maintains, righteously He reigns. And what follows in the third stanza of Psalter 432. Thank you. Levi Henry, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Aliza Hannah, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Savea Linnell, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee in that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee that through the same Son of thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Give unto these parents a living faith, whereby they may know what sin is, and whereby they may love Thee and Thy Son, that He may be precious unto them, and that they may thus be an example unto their children. Remember also the grandparents and the great-grandparents, Lord, Thou knowest where that they are, each and every one, that Thou may give also hearts to acknowledge Thee for all Thy gifts and mercies, but also a cry unto Thee for the generations to come. Oh, that we could not let Thee go except that Thou wouldst bless us and our children, and that we may be given more and more to flee from all that is carnal, earthly, sensual, and devilish, that we may be given to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life, that our children may have before them an example set, and that there may be in the midst of the congregation a nation of people, a peculiar people, who may serve Thee, that it may be evident in the midst of the world also in which we live, that people that is a separate people, that they are a peculiar people, that they are those who do not follow after the fashions of this world, that they are they which do not walk in the ways of sin, that they are they which do love one another fervently, that they are they which are but pilgrims here upon this earth. O Lord, that we may be given to set such an example before the community amidst whom we dwell, that there also may be a savor that is going forth from those who are baptized and those who have made a confession within Thy church, that we may not bring shame upon Thee and upon Thy name and upon Thy truth. Oh, that Thou may bring others also in, when they may be given to behold the beauty of Israel, that they may be drawn also to seek the Lord God of Israel. Lord, that Thou may so remember young and old in all the religion which we may have. Our religion cannot save us. Oh, that we may not be careless within it, as if that we are better than others in this world, as if that we possess something inwardly, when all that we have is an outward form and show of custom. Oh, Lord, that Thou wouldst bind the seriousness of life upon the heart of each and every one, young and old. Give that also our youth and our children and may be given to see the preciousness of the service of the Lord, that they may remember their Creator in the days of their youth, that they may forsake the world and every former friend. Look upon us in the future. Wilt Thou look upon all the congregation and the community of congregations in which we do dwell, the denomination where Thy word does go forth. Oh, bless Thy word as Thou hast in the days of our fathers, that there may be those also in our days that may tell something of that work of the Lord and what He has done in their soul, and that Thou may help those that do bring Thy word upon the mission field, that do prepare to bring it there also, and the students and all of Thy truly sent servants. Remember our school teachers and all those that are involved therewith. Wilt Thou bless the means, wilt Thou also protect from all the influences which are desiring to shut it down, and that Thou Thyself would watch over our rising generation. Look upon us also in this very hour, and when we are gathered around this Thy holy word of truth. Give us a little strength to do this labor. Give a little delight and joy therein, a little taste of the preciousness of Thy truth, and that Thou may give that Thy word may go forth in this hour with great power, and that there could be one who must point back one day and to say that was the day and that was the hour wherein I have heard as I have never heard before in my life. O Lord, bring Thy word with power as a sharp two-edged sword. Wilt Thou cut off the work of man, and wilt Thou plant us upon that solid rock that we may have a foundation to stand upon when we have to appear before Thy judgment seat. Do forgive and take away our many, many sins. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 284, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless His holy name. Bless thou the Lord. Forget not all His mercies, His pardoning grace, and saving love proclaim. The last collection today is for the Calvin Christian School, 284, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion which was read to you, Exodus 12, and therefore and thereof the second portion, little portion here of the 13th verse. These words, Exodus 12, verse 13, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." So far, the words of our text, which speak of blood spared by blood. First, a necessary condition, "and when I see the blood," a necessary condition. Second, a divine promise, "I will pass over you." Blood spared by blood. First, a necessary condition. Second, a divine promise. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Was the word of the Lord to Israel by the mouth of Moses and of Aaron. Was the condemnation of the firstborn. They must die, all of them, this night. A dreadful condemnation. The angel of death will be dispatched by the command of the King of Kings, and blood that is going to flow in the land of Egypt like a river. What is the cause? Sin. The Lord is angry. Pharaoh will not obey. And the Lord, he is now going to take his vengeance. What was that message for the children of Israel? It was for them a message of deliverance. Because the Lord, he is going to fight for them this night. He is going to fight for them against their enemies. Pharaoh is warned, and the Lord says that he is going to put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Why? Better? Because they are his people. That is the only reason. Election, that is a free and it is a sovereign act of the King of Kings, wherein the Lord doth put a difference between man and man, between nation and nation, concerning their eternal state. But the firstborn of Israel, they are not simply going to be delivered by the distinguishing favor of God. God's children, they are not simply delivered by the decree of election. The Lord prescribes for his people a necessary condition, that is our first thought, a necessary condition for that deliverance. Why? "In the day that thou eatest thereof," the Lord says, "thou shalt surely die." It is the unalterable punishment which the Lord, the judge of all the earth, has pronounced against sin. That is death. That is the shedding of blood. And when Egypt shall be bathed in blood, Israel cannot simply escape. Why not? Because Israel has its own sin. It is not the sin of Egypt, but it is sin nevertheless. And justice and judgment cannot spare by making a distinction between those sins. The conscience of every firstborn in Israel has made him to tremble at this pronouncement of the Lord. Because in the conscience of each of those firstborn, there is a question, what now maketh me to differ from the Egyptians? Indeed, the Lord says nothing. Nothing from the side of the Israelites makes them to differ. And therefore, Israel only can be spared by the fulfillment of the conditions that are set by the Lord. What is that condition? That is blood. Why? There is no other way. It has been established by the Lord. And the Lord, He is unchangeable. And therefore, that establishment of this punishment is also unchangeable. If Egypt must be bathed in blood, then Goshen also must be bathed in blood. Congregation, the wages of sin is death. Do you believe that? It is the word of the Lord. It is the unalterable word of the Lord. The Lord says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Do we consider the evil of sin? Do we consider the consequences of sin? What makes us think that we are going to be spared? What makes us think that we are going to be treated any differently than all humanity that is around us? Is it our baptism? Is it our church attendance? What did the Lord show to Ezekiel? He showed him men that had destroying weapons in their hand. And the Lord said to them, go and destroy young and old, maidens and mothers and little children. And He says, begin at my sanctuary. The Lord can make no difference. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And that necessity is lying in the foundation of truth. It is lying in the foundation of justice. This necessity, the necessity of the shedding of blood that has been exhibited even to our first parents immediately after the fall, when the Lord has slain in order that He may clothe them with skins. And the Lord did not cease to teach His people the necessity of this blood, even unto the children of Israel when they were in the land of Egypt, in the condemnation of the firstborn. You say the Lord distinguished Israel from the Egyptians. Yes, that is true. What was that distinguishing grace? That was not that the Lord simply said that they would not be slain, but that distinguishing grace was that the Lord has provided for the children of Israel a way to escape. That the Lord has provided for the children of Israel a lamb. That the Lord has provided a substitute blood. But Goshen indeed will also and must also be bathed in blood. The passion of Christ that was exhibited long before his humiliation, that was exhibited long before his coming in the flesh. Why? Necessary. It was necessary because there was a people also at that time who must be saved by grace through faith. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Thus we have the provision of the lamb, by whose ordinance... It is not Moses' ordinance. It is not Aaron's ordinance. It is the ordinance of the Lord. It is given especially by the Lord. And it is given unto whom? It is given not to the Egyptians. No, it is given unto his own people. It is given unto the children of Israel. Thus we have the distinguishing favor of the Lord. Who can fathom the goodness of the Lord in his distinguishing favor unto us and unto our children? What is that favor? That is not that the Lord simply exempts us from the punishment. It is not possible. The justice of God, the truth of God, will not permit it. What is that distinguishing favor of the Lord that is in the provision of a lamb? You say that lamb that is provided for the whole world. The whole world hears not of it. It is not provided for the whole world. What is that distinguishing favor of the Lord? That is also the preaching of that lamb, the revelation of that lamb, that is unto us and unto our children. It is that the Lord provides a way of escape. What maketh us to differ? Certainly nothing that is lying within ourselves, but let us not think that this distinguishing favor of the Lord is sufficient to deliver us from death. Because it is not. It was also not for Israel. That necessary condition that is not simply the killing of this lamb. That necessary condition is not simply the shedding of the blood of that lamb. No, more is necessary. And what is it? It is the application of that blood. Something must be done with that blood, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Without this application of this blood, the firstborn of Israel are in the same danger than all of the firstborn of Egypt. It is true that lamb may have been slain. It is true that blood may be laying there caught in the basin. But when that blood has never been applied, when it has never been stricken upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, then what has it now profited the firstborn of Israel? It is not sufficient that Christ has given his life. It is not sufficient that his blood that has flown on Calvary's hill. Children, it is not enough that the Lord Jesus gave his life. What do you need? You saw what happened this afternoon. What happened when those children were here in the front? What happened? Then there was water, and that water was sprinkled upon the head of each and every individual child. And when you were a child, when you were very small, and then that water that was also sprinkled upon your forehead. What does that mean? That means something so very, very important for you. You must remember that today because you know this story, do you not? You must remember that that is speaking to you and that that is saying that that blood that is not enough to be shed, but that that blood that also has to be given to me, that also has to be applied unto my own heart. Thus, baptism is a picture of this. What a fatal mistake the fathers in Israel would have made when they had assumed that the slaying of that lamb was sufficient for their firstborn. Oh, how disappointed that they would have been. What a sorrow would have come over them also in that same night. Without faith, then a man, he would say that is all foolishness to slay that lamb and to take that hyssop and to dip it in the blood and to strike it upon the lintel and the side posts. Then a man, he would say by nature, that is all foolishness. What does it mean? What will be its significance? But we do not read anything of this of the children of Israel. No, because they are here a picture of that true church. And with that blood now upon the lintel and upon the side posts, the Lord, he has made a promise which is connected to this condition. But let us sing a moment. Psalter 92. Psalter 92 will sing stanzas 1 and 3. Be thou my helper in the strife. O Lord, my strong defender be. And what follows 1 and 3 of Psalter 92. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. What does the Lord promise to his people? He promises that he will pass over them. He promises that he will spare their lives. to spare the lives of the firstborn when he is taking the lives of the firstborn of the children of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. In the first place, the Lord promises that he is going to look for the blood. That before that he allows that angel of death to enter into the doors of that house, that he is first going to search and he is going to look to see if there is any blood, whether it be just a little bit, or whether that lintel and that side post has been smothered with that blood. The Lord says, he promises that first, before he goes in, he is going to look. And when he may find that blood, he promises that he is going to look upon that blood. That is, that he is going to not ignore it, because it is my own institution, it is my own command, it is a lamb, it is a way of escape that I myself have provided. I will not ignore it when I may see it upon your houses. In the third place, he says, when I see it, I will also accept that blood. I will receive it in your stead. I will receive it as a substitute. I will impute that blood unto you, unto your firstborn, just as if your firstborn's blood had been shed. In the fourth place, he promises that that blood which he will accept will be sufficient. It will be sufficient to turn away that sword of that destroying angel, so that that firstborn will certainly be delivered from death. So sufficient will that blood be that he says, I will not look further than the door. I will not look into that house. I will not search that firstborn to see whether he is worthy, but I shall receive that blood because it is my own institution. That promise that is naturally of very great significance. To whom? Who do you think, children? To whom that did that mean the most in the house? That was the oldest one, right? There were others in the house that could say to him, well, you must rest easy. You may now go to sleep tonight. But that was so very different for that firstborn. Do you know what that means? Or have you ever experienced this for yourself? What does Paul say? He says, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Did you ever have the sentence of death within yourself? When I see the blood, I will pass over. It is so necessary that this condition will be fulfilled in our life. Why? Because the Lord is connecting two things together. That is the condition and the promise. They cannot be separated from one another. It is not most necessary that we do see the blood, because that is not part of this condition. The Lord, He says, when I see the blood, that is the condition. You understand that there will have been some of those firstborn that were too young to understand anything of all this. What do you think, children? If the firstborn was only a year old or 2 years old, and they did not understand, were they still safe? You say, certainly they were safe. Why? Well, because the condition that was still that the Lord would see the blood, not that they would see the blood. But you understand, if they got older, just like you are older, they could understand something of that sentence, that they would then be very, very fearful. And what would make them, what would take away their fear? Well, that would be if they may also see something of that blood. And why? Well, how can they now trust in the promise of the Lord that He will pass over? How can they trust that if they do not know that the condition has been fulfilled? But if they may know that their condition is fulfilled, then faith, true faith, that may say, the Lord, He Himself connects the promise to that condition, and then only does their soul have rest by faith. Faith that trusts in the word of the Lord. Faith trusts that the Lord will do as He has promised to do. But you understand that that faith cannot be exercised in that word without the application also to our soul. Because the Spirit of the Lord, He is convincing a man first of the condition, in order that he may rest in the promise which the Lord is connecting to that condition. Thus, the Spirit of the Lord, He first convinces a man of his lost condition. And when he is so convinced of that condition, to say within himself, I am the man, then the Lord may reveal to him in His word His own testimony, and that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And now faith that has something whereon it may trust, because the Lord Himself has convinced that man of that condition. The Spirit of the Lord convinces a man of his poverty, of his spiritual poverty. That is first. And when a man, he is so convinced, then the Lord shows to him His word, and that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Such is the manner of the Spirit of the Lord to apply that word to the heart of His people. That is the same also with the assurance. The sacraments, they are for not the giving of faith, they are for the assurance of faith. So it is also with the assurance for the comfort of the soul that it is depending upon seeing something of that application. It does not belong, the assurance, does not belong unto those babes which have no understanding, not even of the sentence. But it is belonging unto those who are of age. The soul that knows its own actings by experience, they are the actings of faith. The soul knows that the soul goes out unto him. It knows, it experiences, when it may cast itself upon that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, he says, I know in whom I have believed. That is not a strange language to that true church, because they may experience the personal work in the revelations of his own Son to their needy soul. To eat something of that bread, to drink something of that blood. And so they are given to see something of that application of that blood upon the doorpost, howsoever small that it may be. But what does the Lord say? The Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thus, once applied, is never to be washed away. And when the Lord has himself shown unto his people something, the smallest part of the application of that blood, oh, then surely the Lord knows of it too. And when he may see something of that blood that is in the consciousness of their own soul, that they may know something of it. Peter says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And so that soul may receive some rest. And he may rest upon what? He may rest upon the promise of the Lord by faith. No, then he does not rest in that former experience. But that former experience is necessary for him and for the fulfillment of the conditions that he may rest in the promise of the Lord, which he is connecting unto those conditions. Then I see the blood. I will pass over you, congregation, that blood. That blood as a token that has also been placed upon the foreheads of each and every one of us. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. But will we now go lost? Will we now go lost with that blood upon our foreheads, or on the bottom of hell that is going to testify against us? On the bottom of hell, there we will understand that we have squandered a time of grace. There we will understand that we have thrown away an opportunity that was not given unto the greatest part of this world. There we will understand something of our foolishness, of our carnality, of our earthly mindedness, of our worldliness. There we will lament our unbelief. There we will lament our hardness of heart. And therefore the Lord, he calls today if ye will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. But did David say? He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my transgressions have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Selah. Pause. Meditate. Selah. Repeat. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. That is to lift up, to exalt. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, forever and forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do instruct us in the blessedness of thy holy word and thy sacrament. We cannot miss this blessing. It is exhibited unto us so plainly, even in an outward, in a visible way. We are recipients thereof, each of us also ourselves. O Lord, we beseech thee, bless thy word and sacrament, that we may understand, and that we cannot miss the application, and that thou thyself would give us to seek it and to find it while it is still called today. Would it not be to thy honor and to thy glory? Humble us under gifts received, and also for thy help in this hour. And wilt thou strengthen us more and more? And wilt thou bring us safely to our places? Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy, and help each one in the labors of our hands in the week to come, forgiving our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 231:4, 5, and 6. Lord, thou hast greatly blessed our land, and thou hast brought back our captive band. Thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity. 1:4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 230. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.